Amen. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, we do want to welcome everyone here, and we just pray that God's Spirit would be upon your heart and life this morning, that His anointing would rest upon you this day. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before Him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as far as, like I just mentioned, this Thursday is National Day of Prayer. And it is a proclamation by the president that has been given unto us. Now, every year, and this has been going on for many years, every year it is a law that the president has to declare this a National Day of Prayer, the first Thursday in May. And so I want to read something to you. It says this: the president shall issue each year a proclamation designating the first Thursday in May as a National Day of Prayer, on which the people of the United States may turn to God in prayer and meditation at churches, in groups, and as individuals. And it says Public Law 105-225. As citizens and residents of the United States, and as believers in Christ Jesus, we not only have a spiritual responsibility to pray, but a civic duty as well to heed our president's call to stand in the gap for our nation. Who but God's people have the ability to enter into the very throne room of heaven with prayer and petition? The theme this year is, for your great name's sake, hear us, forgive us, and heal us. Amen. So here we, it's not just a day that, well, you know, it looks good, you know, let's have a National Day of Prayer. It has to be declared by law from the president every year. And he has declared it by public law, and I read you the number that it was. But here it is, the theme is, for your great name's sake, hear us, forgive us, and heal us. And that comes from Daniel 9:19. For your great name. You see, we need God's intervention in our nation. We need God to intervene in our schools. Heaven help us, in our public schools, in our private schools too, everywhere. But we need God's intervention in our government. That's from the federal government to the state government to local governments. We need God's intervention in our, like I said, our public schools, private schools. We need God's intervention in our families of America. We need God's intervention in the fathers of America. We need God's intervention in the mothers of America. We need God's intervention in the children of America. We need God's intervention in the churches of America. We need a mighty move and a mighty presence of God to flow throughout our nation, that He would heal us and forgive us and help us. We look at the nation of Israel and we see every time God would draw them in a direction, and they would, if they would follow that direction, God would bless them and use them. And that doesn't mean the enemy didn't rise up from all corners and all sides, but God would help them to defeat their enemy. But every time God pulled them in a direction and they went the other way, God would let them go, because they had a free will. But yet there were circumstances to pay, and there was a price to pay for disobedience. We need the power and the presence of God to heal our nation. You might say, well, are we a divided nation? Well, just look at the news and see. We are a divided nation. There's goats on one side, and there's sheep on the other side. Just like even the mighty, God's mighty church is a divided church. You might say, oh my God. We need the intervention of the power and the presence of God upon our nation. We started out with God being the full focus of our nation. And we need to end up and come back to the full circle of repentance and asking God to move upon our nation, that He would heal us and help us. And you see, in order for God to move upon a nation, it takes God's people to bring it about. It's ironic. But in order for God to move upon a nation, and I honestly feel He's moving upon our nation. You know, many people have given up all hope for America. I can't give up all hope, because there's always hope in God. And God can always change a situation. I don't know how you voted this election. I know I kind of told you what I felt. But I tell you what, the power of God moved upon our nation with this last election, in bringing in and helping us to stay on track and bringing back some godly decisions and godly character back into the White House and back into public office. Thank God. Thank God that He moved mightily and a miracle happened. It wasn't just, well, coming on in and it happened. Let me tell you, it was because people were on their knees praying. People were on their knees saying, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy upon us. Because you see, the world doesn't think they've gone in the wrong direction. Only the church can see when a nation or a body of believers is going in the wrong direction. And it's the power of God and the anointing of God that sets upon a man or a woman's life, and they can see the wrong direction. You see? Whenever a nation condones certain sin, that's not right. Or they allow certain things to happen, like abortion and all that stuff. It's not good. But God has finally had mercy upon us and has retracted some of those things that have allowed evil to rise up within a nation. And so we have to do whatever we can, as for His name's sake, that He would heal us and forgive us and help us. We've all been to a place where one time in our lives that we really, probably more than one, where we really needed the hand of God to move upon our lives to help us. Huh? I mean, everybody's been there. Where we've maybe lost all hope, huh? Almost. And we said, Lord, if Your hand doesn't come in, I don't know what's going to happen. And we've all seen the power of God move into situations that has changed our families, that has changed our lives because of the power and the presence of God. If God can do that for one family here and one family there and another family here, where we've all seen the power of God, well, can He do that for a nation? Yes, He can. You might say, Pastor, have you seen our nation? Yes, I've seen some things. Yes, we've heard some things. But God can still move besides all that. You see, when there's no other hope and all we can do is look up and God moves, we know it's God. You see, we know it's God, and we gotta get on our knees, especially Thursday, as it has been proclaimed for our nation, that we would intercede and ask God to move, ask God to change, ask God to help and to forgive our nation. To forgive our nation for the evil that we have brought upon our own nation, and maybe some of the evil we brought on other nations by our money and what we've given and what we've done. But also asking God for His mercy and grace, because no other nation but America has produced more missionaries and more pastors and more preachers that have touched and changed this world. And God doesn't forget that. No other nation has produced preachers, to come out and preach the gospel like this nation. No other. No other nation has sent ministers throughout the world to preach the gospel from the eons of time, to proclaim the gospel to this world like America. And God doesn't forget those things. That's just like, you know, as we give, you know, we give our money, we give the things we have. God takes into account those things that we do. And sometimes, you know, we give and we give and we just give because it's in us. Because God has given us so much, we keep giving. And as we give, sometimes we forget what we gave. But God remembers. And he brings it somehow back unto us. And it's like we just, Lord, thank you for blessing us. Thank you for giving us this or that. And God has not forsaken or forgotten America. God has not forsaken America. God has not forgotten America. He still wants to bless. He still wants to use. He still wants to raise up preachers. He still wants to raise up missionaries. He still wants to raise up godly men, godly women, and godly children for his kingdom. He still wants to do mighty miracles that he has done years before. He still wants to do in America today. But you see, it's all determined. God wants to. And God wants to move mightily, but it really is determined by the church, the body of believers. And so we need to take the time, ask God to forgive us, ask God to heal us, and ask God to help us in our troubles and in our time. Scripture tells us over and over again that our fervent prayer is effective. It is effective. Sometimes we think, well, you know, Pastor, I've been praying for this and nothing's happening. I see nothing physically or whatever, but our prayers are effective, people. Faith to believe that God is still moving. God is still moving. God still wants to move. God still wants to heal people and help people. That's the power of our God. How great is your God? My God. He's a powerful God that can do anything and desires to move at will within us. Our loving God responds to his children's earnest pleas in mighty ways that avail much and ultimately determine the course of history. You know, we have a great high priest, as it says in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. We have a great high priest named Jesus who wants to plead our case before the Father continuously. Continuously. It says this, we are to pray to the Father, but we are to go through his Son Jesus. We are to go through his name Jesus. We are to go through the blood of Jesus as we plead our case before our Father, asking him for help. And let me tell you, oh yeah, and now of these things which you have spoken, this is a sum. We have such a high priest who has set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. The great high priest, Jesus. He ultimately paid the price. And my God, he's seated at the right hand of the Father, pleading our case before him. My God. That's the greatest lawyer you could have. That's the greatest lawyer you could have, my God, that will take the prayers and the prayers of the saints and bring them before the Father and say, look, you see, if a person in Gaydon prays and a person in New York prays, the person in New York does not have better relations to the Father to get his prayer answered. We're all the same. All the same. What's that? That's right. He's no, and that's good. He's no respect of a person. Your prayers are just as effective as someone that lives somewhere else. Amen. And he, you know, so we need to look at ourselves and say, Lord, as we go to Jesus, that he looks at us and takes our prayers and pleads it before the Father. And sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, sometimes it's just wait a while. Who knows? But we need to be have an effective prayer life, people, that we pray and we seek God, not only for our nation, but also for us spiritually and physically upon our lives. The health of a nation is determined by God's people, the family, the church. Let's read 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 and 15. I know this is a very familiar verse. Very, very familiar. 2 Chronicles 7, 14 and 15. Let's see. Look at this. And I know it's like, well, you know, Pastor, I hear this scripture all the time. That's good. We need to regurgitate the Word of God continuously. We have to read the Word, study the Word, get it in us, people. It's that Word that brings life to our spirit, mixed with the power and the presence of God. If you want to act like Jesus, and you want to speak like Jesus, and you want to be like Jesus, you have to have the Word of God in you. Otherwise, I can guarantee that when the heat comes and pressure comes, if you don't have that Word in you and the power of God is not in us, we will not act like God would want us to act. Won't happen. Now you might say, well, Pastor, I'm reading, I'm sitting still sometimes. I understand. But doesn't, after it happens, the Word comes up and you go, oh, Lord, thank God for His mercy. Amen. See, we should strive to be like Him with all power that's within our lives, people. Look, when was the last time you opened a Bible? Don't tell me you don't understand it. There's too many Bibles that will explain what the Scripture says. Don't tell me that you don't have time. Everybody has 24 hours. You can take 5 minutes. I don't want to be hard, but what I'm saying is we need to get it in us so that we act and do according to the Word of God, so that we feed our spirit man. I mean, you can hear it, you know, you can get it and download it and hear it while you're working and doing whatever. See, we have to get it in us because that word, that prayer changes our lives. And when we neglect the fuel of our spirit, get it in you, when we neglect the fuel of the spirit that's in us, see, the fuel, you know, you have a car and if you let it run out of gas or diesel, you can try to start it all you want. You can have it towed to the dealership and say, hey, it won't start. And they look and they see the needle all the way on E. Well, they know what it is. Our spirit man, when we gave our hearts to the Lord, the fuel that keeps this spirit man rolling is the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Amen. And when we don't have the Word in us, and we're not constantly feeding the Word in our hearts and lives, we get to zero or empty. And things start to go maybe a little bad. That doesn't mean even when we have the Word of God, things don't go horrible. But the Word of God is there to encourage and to help. We got to keep that needle on full, people, of the Word of God. You might say, well, how much is full? As much as your spirit can take. How much is full? It could be a half a chapter a day or a whole chapter or a few books. I don't know a day. But I tell you what, get it in you. Get it in you. Get that word flowing out of your mouth so it builds the faith on the inside of you. Prayer changes our lives. The word of God changes us. Get it in us. You can do it. You can do it. Let the word change your heart and life. And let me tell you, it will produce the life of Christ in you like you never thought before. It will produce faith in you to believe God for the impossible, and you will see it happen. It will regenerate on the inside of you that fuel that's coming and feeding that spirit on the inside of us. The anointing of the Holy Ghost, the presence of God moving in us. My God, we are not dead people. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords lives inside of you and me. He is alive and well and wants to move. We don't walk around like we don't know what we're doing. We walk around as children of the living God, produced by Jesus Christ from the blood of the cross of Calvary. We walk around in victory. We walk around in victory. We walk around in victory. And you might say, well, what if I don't have victory? Well, what do? You call to God and you say, Lord, look at this area in my life that needs to change. And you let him produce that victory as we put our faith in Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. The power of God. Prayer will change us, people. You're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to let God fill you with the Holy Spirit as far as speaking in tongues. You need to let him do it, people. That is for the church today. Let him do it. Cry out for it. Ask him for it. Believe him for it. My God, it will change your prayer life like never before. My God, to let that prayer language flow out of your mouth. Hunger and thirst for the things of God. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. Hunger and thirst to be what God calls us to be. A living church on fire for him, doing the will of the Father. Taking the hands of the evil one off of people's lives and seeing them set free by the power and the anointing of God. Seeing ourselves free of the evil one that torments and tries to destroy people's lives and hearts. We know people that are tormented. We might have been some of them tormented. it's not a fun thing. But I tell you what, the name of Jesus. It says every time you say Jesus' name, the demons in hell tremble. Amen. My God. You tell old Slewfoot to get away from you, that you are called by God. You have been called by him to accomplish God's will. You are a child of the King. My God, take your authority. And in what you do, you take God's authority that God has given you. You come against him, but you stay in the line of the blood of Jesus. And you're saying, Lord, I come against this thing in Jesus' name. I take authority over that. I bind it in the name of Jesus, and it cannot produce what the devil wants it to produce. Evil's alive, people. And he'll try to destroy the children of God. We need to allow the power of God to move. Take that time with him to pray and to seek God like never before. You might say, Pastor, I think I might be too young. You're never too young, people. You're never too old for the power of God to move like he wants to move. There are many areas. Oh, we didn't read this, did we? Let's read 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Lord have mercy. Okay. Keep me in line, people, okay? Keep me in line. Verse 14. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes shall be open and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. And we know now that God does not live in buildings at all. But he lives in the hearts and the mind, hearts of God's people. But it says this, humble ourselves, pray, seek his face, turn from our wicked ways. He will hear us from heaven. He will forgive our sin and will heal our land. Now my eyes, and it says the eyes of our God shall be open, and the ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. It says God will come after we do our part. Prayer is so important, people. Prayer is so important. We can look in the Old Testament and the New Testament about how God answered prayer and what God did. I want you to turn to James chapter 5. I want to build your faith just a little bit more this morning about how God can change, how God can answer the prayers of his people. James chapter 5, look at verse 16. It says, confess your faults one to another. Now, I'm not talking about that, but let me, look, don't go to everybody and confess your faults to them. Honestly, nobody wants to hear it. Confess your faults to God. Ask him to help you. Okay? Ask him to help you in those areas. But let's get to the other part. It says, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by a space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now here we see God answered this prayer. Elisha prayed, you know the whole scenario. Elisha prayed. Now he prayed this prayer because the Spirit of God told him to. See, we got to remember, we have to pray in the will of the Father. Okay? We have to pray in the will of the Father. It says that Elisha prayed that that rain wouldn't come upon the earth for 3.5 years. And what happened? It didn't rain for 3.5 years. And then he got up and prayed again, and rain came. If I got up today and said, let's pray that rain wouldn't come for 3.5 years, it wouldn't happen. It'd probably rain tomorrow. You see, we got to line ourselves up with the will of the Father. But God is looking for people to pray. And when we pray the will of the Father, it shall be done. It shall be done. As we pray for our nation, God wants to heal our nation. We know that. God wants to bring our nation back to him. We know that. God wants to bring our families back to him. We know that. God wants to heal our lives personally. We know that. That is the will of the Father. Elisha prayed, Lord, don't let it rain for 3.5 years. And it didn't rain. That's amazing. Then when he got up and prayed again, by the unction or the power of God, as he prayed, it came about. That's the power of God that moved. Look at Joshua chapter 10. Joshua chapter 10. Joshua chapter 10. Look at verse 12. Then spoke Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he, talking about Joshua, said in the sight of Israel, son, stand thou still upon Gibeon. And thou moon in the valley of Ashkelon. And the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the Lord had avenged themselves upon their enemy. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Here we see Israel was in a battle. And Joshua, and we know, you know, the earth, the sun and the moon, you know, around the earth, whatever. Maybe they didn't know that. And sometimes we pray things, but God still moves on our prayers. Here Joshua saw that they were fighting the enemy and they needed more daylight. And Joshua looks up, moved by the power of God, and he said, "Sun, stand still." God will take our prayers, even though we might not pray it right, but we have faith in praying it. God moves. That's a very great God. Because sometimes we might not pray something right, but God knows the intentions of our hearts. And so he still answers it, even though it might not be prayed right. He answered the prayer of Joshua as he said, "Son, stand still." And we know, you know, what's happening with that situation. God still answered that prayer and moved upon that situation. God is still in the business of answering prayer, people. We know in Acts, and we're not going to, Acts chapter 9, verse 8 to 16 talks about the conversion of Saul to Paul, how the power of God came upon this man. As people prayed for him, God moved upon this man. Paul wrote 13 books of the New Testament. God changed his name from Saul to Paul. God, as he was going to Damascus, that light came and knocked him off that horse. He looked up and said, "Lord," that means he accepted Jesus as his Savior. They took him to a place called Straight. Ananias went and prayed over him, led by the Spirit of God, and the scales came off of his eyes, and he started to preach the gospel. See, he prayed. The people prayed for this man. Sometimes we think, "Lord, is something happening?" And if God could take the veil off, the scales off of our eyes, to see the spiritual aspects of the things that we've been praying about, my God, God is moving. God is moving. Just as here Saul would go into homes and take the children out and the parents out, and some were stoned and killed. He hated Christians. He thought he was doing God's service. But as Christians gathered together, I know they did, as they gathered to pray for this man, and as they singly prayed in their homes for this man, the power of God moved upon him. Because you see, God doesn't move without a person or a man or a woman or a child believing him to move. To have faith to believe that the power of God can move. And let me tell you, that was a miracle. Some still didn't believe that he had changed. They were skeptical about it. But that's the power of prayer, people. They didn't know how God would do it. They didn't know when God would do it or how he would do it. But they believed God that he could change this man, the one that would go in and destroy Christians. And he thought he was doing God's work. So you see, your prayers, don't give up. Don't give up on the things that you're praying about. Maybe you haven't seen the results of it, but you keep on knocking on that door. You keep on saying, "Lord, move. Lord, move. Lord, move. Change my children. Change my spouse. Change, Lord God, the things in our church. Lord, move by your power and your presence, Lord." See, all God is looking for is a people that will believe and have faith in him that what he can do, he will do it. He's looking for a people that will believe. He's looking for a people that will take up the cross of Calvary and preach the cross to the people, saying, "Hey, look to him. Look to him. He's the author and finisher of your faith. He can change your life. He can help you." That's the power of our God. We don't serve a dead God. We serve a God that is in heaven upon his throne. That the angels, well, the beasts are around it, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, my God," unto them, giving them praise continuously. And we have a God, a high priest who is seated next to our God that is making intercession for you and I this day. Because he knows how it is. He's walked in our shoes, people, like no other God, little g. He's walked upon the earth physically. He knows what it is to be tempted. I say, well, you know, our God knows. He knows what it is to be tempted of the enemy. He knows what it is to be laughed at, to be mocked. He knows what it is to be looked down upon. He knows what it is, how it feels. Prayer changes things, people. Prayer changes things. Almost time to close there. I want you to turn to Psalm 66 as I close with this verse, please. You can go into Esther and you can see how prayer changed her life. My God, there's so many stories and things. And honestly, probably you could tell me stories about your personal lives. My God, how God came in and changed. How God answered. How God made a way where there seems to be no way. My God, we know the power of our God. We want to know more of his power. And we know God can change this nation. And God can change this church, this community, by the power of God. As we rely upon him. Psalm 66, 18. Very powerful verse, people. It says this, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And I want to read what the commentary says. It says this, the reason most prayers are never heard and answered is because individuals will not confess the sin that lurks within their hearts and repent of it being there. Very powerful verse. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You might say, well, you know, probably there's things in our hearts that we don't even know of. You don't know of it. That's a different case. If we know of something, people, we have to repent. It's an amazing thing. If iniquity hides in our hearts, he will not answer our prayers. And I'm telling you, that's a lot of reason prayers are not being answered by our Father. Not that he doesn't want to. Because there's lurking of iniquity in our hearts. And I'm talking about all of us. The church, the whole body of Christ. I'm talking about known things. If we don't know of something, well, we don't know. I mean, if I don't know about something, I can't repent of it. But if I know of something, we need to take care of it quickly. We need to allow the Spirit of God to help us to forgive people. That happens all the time, you know. Hurt comes. Things are said, you know. But we should never allow iniquity to stay in our heart at all. That we allow the power of God to come in and cleanse so that we don't stop the answers. The answers to our prayers. That we allow the Spirit of God to move. Thursday is the National Day of Prayer, people. God is wanting to hear. God hears our prayers, but wants to answer them. The church has to stand in that gap. We got to search our hearts and say, Lord, if there's anything, please reveal it to me and help me to forgive. Help me to repent of this thing, whatever it is, whatever it is. Now, After you've asked forgiveness, after we've repented, God remembers it. What? No more. So should we remember? No. That's right. That's right. God forgives. Maybe consequences to it, but God forgives and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So let's do everything we can as we go to Him daily. As we read our Bibles and the power of God is upon our lives, that we say, Lord, search my heart and see if there be any wicked way in me. And when the light comes on, because it will come on, that's the Holy Spirit's job. The light will come on and it will shine in some dark areas of our lives, those closet areas, those little areas. And He'll say, okay, now, Joe, take care of this. You ask forgiveness. Bring it under the blood of Jesus. And God forgives. Because you see, we don't want anything to hinder the answers to the prayers that we've been praying about. We don't want anything to hinder God from moving on the things that we're praying about. That's just like, and I'm about to close. You know, you take a creek of some kind, or whatever it is, a body of water, and you have beavers, and they start to build a dam, and they will stop the flow of that water. We don't want anything to stop the flow of the Holy Spirit flowing through our lives. We want to keep it flowing. It may hurt sometimes, the things that we have to deal with. But it's better to hurt here as the Spirit of God moves and we become well than hurt later. Amen. Would you please stand?